Seeking the Lord's help, shall we commence with hymn 619. Creatures are but vain at best, in them is no solid rest. All the world calls good or great, cannot perfect bliss create. Hymn 619.
Thank you. Read together from the most holy word of God, two psalms, Psalm 91 and Psalm 142. Psalms 91 and 142. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. Oh, most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God, do prepare us now, O Lord, we might rightly approach unto Thee. Thou who art most holy, are holy indeed. And what are we but sinners? Ah, sinners by our conception. But oh, sometimes we've been brought to see of a truth we are sinners indeed, sinners in need. But oh, we thank Thee. There is that way whereby poor sinners may approach unto Thee. And blessed be God, is it not through Christ, a precious Christ, the eternal Son, who hath, yes, blessed be God, offered Himself once and for all as our perfect sacrifice, and as our glorious High Priest has now entered in through that veil which was rent, when Thou didst cry out with Thy breath, Thy dying breath, it is finished. Now entered into the holiest, and not without blood, with His own heart's blood. Ah, that new and living way, whereby poor sinners may approach unto Thee. And what a mercy if we're enabled by faith to plead that name, which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to plead that sin-atoning blood. For we have no other plea but that Thy blood was shed for me. We come as beggars, poor may it be with each one of us, known and felt. Beggars poor at mercy's door lie such a wretch as I. Ah, venturing with all our wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, nothing to recommend or commend ourselves, but it must be this, and may it be this, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to Thy cross to cling. Naked come to Thee for dress, helpless look to Thee for grace. Foul, I to Thee fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, ere I die. And as Thou hast then spared our unworthy lives, so to gather in Thy courts, maintaining unto us the very breath we breathe, and brought, yes, in peace and safety, into the house of our God, the house of prayer this day, it might be with a living desire, give me Christ, or else I die. Yes, without Christ, at the end of our days, we shall die that eternal death. Ah, that death, and all that pertains to it, where the flame is not quenched and the worm dieth not, to all eternity, those unnumbered years. But oh, blessed be God, we're brought to cry unto Thee for mercy. And that is made known unto a poor sinner, their good hope through grace, that when our days are ended here below, when we have to appear before the judge of all the earth, it shall be, 'tis He, instead of me is seen when I approach the God. Oh, one that satisfied the law in every jot and tittle, in the sinner's room place instead. Oh, it's a solemn thing, but we find naturally the consideration of our end. It doesn't come to our mind very often. We try to put it out of our thoughts. But of a truth, that day must come. That day must come when we shall have to appear before the judge of all the earth. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And oh, when we're brought to see what we are, we have to confess our sins deserve that eternal death. But oh, to be found as that beggar poor, yes, that beggar raised up out of the dunghill, through sovereign grace, electing love, as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Oh, leave us not to anything which is short of thee. Leave us not to be found upon that bed too short and with a covering too narrow. But oh, it might be found in that day, clothed in that robe of Christ's righteousness. That spotless, seamless robe. For we have many spots and blemishes, do we not? We feel it so. But all to be covered. Ah, yes. And washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. So we plead, take us each in hand. Leave us not to anything false. Leave us not to anything which is of the flesh. But all that might be found amongst those wrought upon by the Spirit, brought into the fold, into Christ's fold through Christ, who is the door of the fold, the shepherd of the sheep, gathered in there, a place of safety, shut in with Christ. So we plead, as thou hast enabled us to come into thy courts and spared us so to do. Take us each in hand. Take us each in hand from the youngest to the oldest. May we know what it is to have our ear bored to the doorpost. To come like those Greeks of old, sirs, we would see Jesus. Sirs, we would see Jesus. With that desire as the apostle was brought to desire. Yes, we read of the apostle Paul. He had a good upbringing, if we can look at it in that way. Well taught at the feet of Gamaliel. It is brought to this, that all that natural learning was but dung and dross, and his desire was this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of by faith in Christ. And so we plead, may we likewise be given that desire, even as the apostle desired it. And so do remember us each, and as thou dost look upon the heart, and thou seest all the desire. Yes, and sometimes we have to confess that those years ago now, We were found in thy courts, but our desire was not toward thee. Our desire was bound up in the things of the earth, the perishing things of the world, that which the wicked sees much store by it and sees much in it. It is all their desire. Ah, such were some of us. Or if there are yet amongst us those that are perhaps even now, they've glanced at the clock like we used to. Glanced at the clock and thought, ah, all that time to go yet. And another service this evening. Before the Monday morning, when I can get back to those things of time which are so attractive to me. Ah, such were some of us. Oh, may it please thee. Ah, work in the heart mightily that living desire. Ah, to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and prove that all these other things necessary for time shall be added unto you. O Lord, we have to confess that yes, looked at the clock those years ago as a child and young person, and at times we felt it stood still on the Sabbath day. But since thou hast brought our ear to the doorpost, we trust there have been those times when it seems to have gone by. We've longed for the servant of the Lord to go on. Such was that hunger and thirst after thee, desiring to know thee, to lay hold upon thee by precious faith, truly feeling our need. So do remember us each, we plead, and as thou hast favoured us to gather, oh, may it please thee, might be with that living desire, such as the apostle. Do remember each one according to their path, and thou knowest the path of each one. And is it not recorded in thy word? The path of a child of God, it's through much tribulation. It doesn't say no tribulation. It doesn't say just a little, now and again. It speaks in that way, much tribulation. Through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. But oh, may there be a proving this also. The Lord is at hand. There is that one that succours and strengthens, and grants that enabling and supporting grace to bear those tribulations. Yes, we find at times like dear old Jacob, we fret against these things. We fret under them. All these things are against me. Found even those thoughts arose in her own heart this week. All these things are against me. But ought to be able to say, thy will be done. But ought to truly prove that all must come. And last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend, to prove that nothing is out of place. Nothing is out of place, yes, feels at times to us like crooks in the lot, cross providences, things hard to be understood, but all must come, and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. So dilemmas each, whether young or in the midst of life or old, to roll that burden upon thee and prove that there is that one that loveth at all times a brother born for adversity. Oh, when we prove in the midst of adversity, there is that one that knows our case, understands our case fully, and truly knows that we have a feeble frame. Oh, when we think upon the Eternal Son, in that condescension taking upon himself not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham, flesh and blood, such as we have, yet without sin, but walk that lowly path. Ah, knew what the temptation of the adversary was, knew what it was to be wearied and thirsty and hungered. It's one that knows our frame in all its entirety and remembers that we are but dust. Oh, what a mercy indeed. When we find, yes, the shepherd goes before his sheep, and he cares much for his sheep. And so we would then fall into thy hands and enable one another through their trying scenes to fall into thy hands, into thy kind care and keeping, and to commit all the way unto thee. Ah, wilt thou not? Blessed be God, thou dost, we proved it so. Thou dost succour and strengthen. Let us not leave us to despair, cast down, but not in despair, sometimes very near it, but not left to despair. Ah, proving the promise to be true. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So to remember each one amidst their trials and tribulations, be their strength and sufficiency. And to remember those in the midst of life that have borne the heat and burden of the day, whether it is a busy housewife or mother in the home, to those in their studying perhaps, those in their workplaces, those in their retirements, there's much heat and burden of the day. It's a fast moving age. But O Lord, lift us above all those cares for a moment. May we not be found as Martha. Yes, we find sometimes we are in thy courts, but like Martha, our mind is so taken up with cares, the troubles of the past days, the scenes of life, and we find we cannot keep those thoughts out of our mind. They're a pestilence to us in that way. They plague us. But, O Lord, do lift up such even this day. Lift them above all those cares and concerns that have burdened them perhaps in the past days, perhaps in the past moments of this day, as we proceeded thus far. Lift them above and set their hearts and minds upon those things which are heavenly, which are eternal. Oh, may they be found at thy feet, like Mary was. Ah, what a blessed place she was found in that day, sitting at thy feet, hearing thy words. And so we plead, do keep the adversary from us. Ah, yes, we can hear thy words sometimes, and in a moment our mind is caught away. Satan and our old nature within seem to conspire against us. And soon our minds are drawn aside and we lose that which we had. But, O Lord, we plead then, keep us close to Thee. And as we read in the Song of Solomon, draw us. Yes, the blank but comely ones, yes, we come with all our imperfections. Draw us and we will run after Thee. So remember each one amidst the scenes of life, or there might be that worshipping of Thee in spirit and in truth this day. And remember parents with their families. Yes, there are many cares that go with parents and looking after families. We plead for them, especially in this dark and evil day in which our lot is cast, where good is called evil and evil is called good. To enable them to speak in that way unto their young ones, perhaps to counter arguments that they may have come across, which are thrust upon us in our day. Oh, we often think of that word in James' epistle, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Oh, may they seek wisdom of Thee. And certainly we see secularism rising up, false gods, atheism. Yes. We wonder what persecution may yet come upon Thy people, upon Thy church. But we thank Thee that at this present moment of time we can gather without the fear of man or authority. None can lawfully make us afraid. But we begin to feel that there may be that seeking to impose upon us restrictions as to what we can speak, even out of Thy word. For it offends man. It offends man in his wickedness. It offends man in his abominations. O Lord, if that day should come, to enable us to stand fast for the truth, yes, to stand fast for the truth. But, O Lord, do preserve it to this freedom we have at the moment to future generations. We plead that Thou wouldest and Thou canst frustrate wicked men. Thou canst bring their counsels to naught and frustrate their evil designs. So we will commit it all unto Thee, but we thank Thee that we have Thy word in its entirety, and we would seek as enabled to preach from it and not fear men's frowns nor court their smiles. But do remember then each one gathered here, and we would not be unmindful of those unable to gather through sickness or infirmity or whatever reason. Go to them where they are. Make one with them where they are. Fail them in their souls where they are. They are not confined to place or means or mode. And so we would bear them before Thee. But do remember any in affliction's pathway. Bless all the means used for their good, and we are thankful for those means available in our day. But we would not just take them as the world might take them. We seek Thy blessing upon it. We seek Thy blessing upon it, and look upon it as that means which Thou hast given men wisdom to find out. And sometimes we look back over our little lives, and we've seen those times and seasons indeed where through that wisdom which Thou hast given unto men to find out this or that, there's been that preservation of our life. Yes, we would thank Thee for these means. But oh, may we look upon it as a means given by thee. Man may be given that wisdom. Man perhaps seeks to praise another man for it. But we see the good hand of our God. So remember any in their afflictions. Remember those in the even time of life, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Do grant them those tokens for good, those fresh tokens. Ah, yes, they may feel to be so withered and barren naturally. But oh, to feel again and again the dew upon their branch. To feel again and again those tokens of thy love and thy mercy. Oh, bring to their mind that glorious prospect. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and when I come again, I shall receive you unto myself, that where I am, oh, what a prospect indeed. Ah, one that has conquered death, hell and the grave, gained the victory, and ascended on high where I am, there shall you be also. And so we plead for any in their latter years. And to remember Zion, we plead for Zion. Ah, what desolations we have seen. What turning aside. Ah, yes, turning aside even from thy word and what thy word commands. Ah, rebelliousness. But thy word does declare, does it not, for the rebellious also. May there be those rebels brought to return. The prodigals brought to return. Ah, the work is thine, the power is thine. Man may try to speak to their fellow men. We find oftentimes, as it not, it falls upon deaf ears. But may it please thee, I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Oh, work in their hearts mightily, we plead. And as regards the little hills of Zion, are there none of thy dead elect in and around those little hills of Zion, and around the hill of Zion here, those found out in the world now, that thou hast a purpose of grace yet toward, they shall be brought in, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Perhaps they picked up one of those free copies of thy precious word, thy gospel. Perhaps one or another has found the word, has cut them up root and branch, and they've tried to put it to one side, but that work has begun, it's that sharp two-edged sword, dividing between the joints and the marrow. May it please that they might yet turn again to thy word, and see that word of hope, that brings them even to venture into thy courts, to hear what the Lord might speak. So we plead thy blessing upon these means. And what a mercy if one should be brought to true repentance and godly sorrow. Yes, one found and brought in as that elect vessel of mercy, a chosen vessel. So we plead thy blessing upon all these things. But do we plead, build up Zion, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And do remember thy servants have gone forth to labour this day, do give them a thus saith the Lord. May thy word go forth from them. Yes, we're but the instrument. May thy word go forth from them in the power of the Holy Spirit. that it might accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it, and not return unto thee void. And do remember this guilty land and nation, we have sinned against light and knowledge. It's a solemn thing, we've turned thee the back and not the face. We seem to have reverted, as it were, to a heathen nation. Whereas once it was said of this nation, righteousness exalteth a nation. I believe it was so at one time, this nation. But now we've turned thee the back. We've rejected thy word. We've only got to look at the population. Yes, we have to say kept by the power of God. We've been kept by thy power. But we've only got to look at the population in general now. We see all those marks of the heathen, heathenish. Yes, tattoos everywhere. Came to our mind not too long ago. Ah, how we have need for thee to work mightily once again in this nation and to bring to true repentance and godly sorrow. Ah, do have mercy upon us. May we be found amongst those that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. And what a mercy we believe it is, because that remnant that sigh and cry unto thee daily, it is because of that remnant that thou hast not destroyed this land for its wickedness, for its heathenish ways, its abominations. O Lord, may we not be left to settle upon our lees, but stir us up. And as we saw in the past year, thou didst hear prayer, and thou didst spare, and thou didst grant a gathering and a harvest for to provide food for both man and beast. And we see that prospect again, we plead. May we see it again in due time, that thy promise stands true. Seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat. They shall remain whilst the earth remaineth. But we know of a truth, as it was with those cities of the plain. That time came when, yes, didst thou not take Lot out? Ah, and what a destruction came upon them. Destroyed those cities of the plain. And so we plead, do stir us up. Ah, we can soon become complacent and say in our hearts, well, that is how things are. Oh, we can only speak for oneself, we need that stirring up. So stir us each up. But, O Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies and thy favours, and truly we can say we've lacked nothing. We can look back over a past year and say, yes, thou didst bring us through that past year and the years before. Wrought wonders for us. Yes, we've had to go through deep waters, some of us very deep waters. But can we not say hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And he who hath helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through and give us daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. Ah, another Sabbath day brought thus far. An Ebenezer. Oh, an Ebenezer. A song of praise. Lord, may we not let thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. But now, O Lord, it's our never dying souls, our need as sinners. Break the bread of life unto us. Do pour into this poor sinner we may pour out. and do us each good and send none empty away. We plead then for the pardon of every sin and all we've asked amiss. We plead all these things, pleading for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 279. How shall I pour out my complaint, or tell the Lord my sore distress? Yet he espies my every want, my weakness, sin, and foolishness. Hymn 279.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and read the first two verses. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Psalm 91, the first two verses. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Do we know anything of that secret place of the Most High? I know that looking back in my own life, there's a time when I knew it not. Knew it not. Not only knew it not, but had no desire after it, for I had no need. But oh, what a mercy when there is that wrought in the heart by the Spirit, that work of grace begun there. Yes, it is those that are brought into such a place as this, the secret place of the Most High. When the Spirit takes up that dwelling place in their heart, so it's not by the natural man or by his natural thoughts, but it is that which is of the Spirit and that work of grace. My mind went earlier to the apostle. He had a religion before that knew nothing of this secret place or that dwelling there. As I mentioned him in prayer, yes, he had that education at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew the law of Moses and all that of the old dispensation, if we can put it in that way. Yes, and no doubt he could speak much before men that may have gained the applause of his men, fellow men. It showed forth perhaps his learning, natural learning, and that can it not, in the eyes of our fellow men, that applause, gain that applause of them. But like the apostle, when all that was brought to naught, when the axe was laid to the root, Almighty God said of him, Behold, he prayeth. And was not his prayer, we read, I believe, the first recorded prayer under grace, was this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's one that has been wrought upon by the Spirit, as I said, the Spirit taking up that dwelling place in their heart, changing their heart and renewing their will and turning their feet to Zion's hill. That's one that dwells, knows a little of it. They may feel, well, I don't know whether I can lay claim to that. Do you know those groanings? Perhaps like in the hymn just now, that conflict, the tossings to and fro, complaints. That's one that has had life in the soul. It has over the top, does it not? Conflict, warfare. Ah, one that now feels uneasy. Sometimes we look back to our unregeneracy, we knew not what unease was in that way. Spiritual uneasiness, soul uneasiness. We heard others speak of those things which they were walking in and felt, and read those accounts of them. We knew nothing of it ourselves. But oh, perhaps some of the language of that hymn struck a chord. How shall I pour out my complaint? Or tell the Lord my sore distress? Ah, that is one that knows a little, or beginning to know a little, of this secret place of the Most High. There's a groaning being burdened. The Spirit has burdened them. Burdened them. Ah, burden them with their sins. Burden them with their iniquities. And they find, yes, it makes them uneasy. And uneasy, why? Yes, man in the world can know a little in measure what is right or wrong, or whether he's done right or wrong. The court of the land might pronounce upon him that he is sentenced because of this or that which he has done. But this is uneasiness which only the Lord's people will ever know. Because they're brought to realize they stand before a holy and a heart-searching God. They're brought to realize they've offended one holy, holy, holy. They're brought to realize that yes, that which testifies against them are in that court of divine justice, that pronouncement that shall be made upon them is eternal death. But they find this warfare, a striving together, the old man of sin against the new man of grace. It brings them to those complaints and those groanings before the Lord. Well, what a mercy. You know a little of this secret place of the Most High. We didn't know before. You may have poured out your heart what you thought before the Lord as regards time things. Ah, yes, sometimes we look back to our years when we perhaps thought we prayed. And it's no more than what the world seeks after. No more than for what the world seeks after. But oh, when you're brought to that where you lose sight of all these things, you realize there's death stamped upon them all. There's decay stamped upon them all. And eternity is before you. Ah. The second verse goes on, does it not? Stupid, secure, hard and blind, withered and dead and rooted up to endless death I seem consigned. So destitute of cheering hope. Uneasy when I feel my load, uneasy when I feel it not. The dead have no feelings. The dead have no feelings. The dead know not of feelings of any load, or there's no concern within them, for there's no life within them. But the living, where the Spirit has breathed upon your dry bones as that measure of life, Ah, there's those groanings being burdened. Groanings being burdened. And yet you find the rest of that hymn quite suits your case also. You find you cannot frame a good desire. If all the world to me was given, I cannot to a wish aspire. If one good wish would purchase heaven, yes, you have those desires like that. There's that desire after heaven, but you find you cannot frame a good desire. And yet there's that groaning, those breathings after the Lord. Those breathings. In the earlier part of the week, my mind went back. I know I've spoken of it before by my dear late mother. But oh, when she was brought toward her end, and she, her desire, well, it's my turn to find the hymns that particular evening. I went into my mother, I may have said before, and I said, I must get on, I've got to find the hymns for the evening service. And in her weakness, wearied, temptations, yes, finding, yes, she was on the swellings of Jordan with a great need there. She said the last hymn, so forgive me if I've said it before, but she said the last hymn must be 303. My mind went back to that hymn in the night season during the past days. And perhaps you find the language of this in that 303 suits your soul. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. What a mercy if you've been brought there, yes. To see there's no help in self, no hope in self. And yes, that groaning before the Lord. All my trust on thee is stayed. Yes, the Spirit leads and teaches. Blessed be God. What a mercy it is when the Spirit instructs, leads a poor sinner out of self. To whom? To Christ. Leads out of self and to Christ. Now brought to that place. All my trust on thee is stayed. As they see and feel in of themselves, they have nothing. And they're brought to see that, yes, they may have tried to do this rightly, tried to do that rightly. They see all that is but filthy rags. There's no defence there, no safety there. No hope there. All my trust. Perhaps someone can't come any further than that, but say, all my trust. Stripped of everything. Stripped of everything of self. Naked and poor and undone, you feel. All my trust. Yes, what a mercy indeed. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul. I am the way. That's that one brought and knows a little. Blessed be God. that secret place of the Most High. And so as that hymn, as I said, came to my mind in the night season, and those lines as it closed that second verse, all my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. And it was this line, or the last two lines in that verse, to cover my defenseless head. With the shadow of thy wing. Ah, do you find that? You feel defenseless. No hope in self. May have looked here and looked there. But ah, all my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head. I was brought to see in the night season, without this covering, without this knowledge of this secret place of the Most High, without this refuge, without this fortress, we stand in a solemn place, we're defenseless. But who is this one that defends? Is it not Christ? Yes, the eternal Son of God. Is it not that one that condescended to take upon himself a body and nature like unto our own, and to suffer, bleed and die in their room, place and stead as that perfect sacrifice? One defenseless. Defenseless, having need of a saviour. And I often speak of the Apostle Paul, but I trust in the way the Lord has led and taught me in my little pathway. I can identify with how the Apostle speaks. But do you find that language suits you of the Apostle, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection? Yes, what a mercy. That one defenseless, when he's brought to see, and they feel that power of his resurrection, and that which is bound up in it. When you turn to that chapter in Romans, that one defenseless, that one that feels their need. We read, do we not? As regards that one that offered himself once and for all, you read that chapter 8 in Romans. Yes. We read just a few verses at the beginning. There is therefore now no condemnation. For the mercy of this is made known to a poor sinner, defenseless, he has to say, yes, I am condemned. My sins do condemn me. It's been that searching out of my heart. The Lord has searched my heart and tried my ways, and I stand condemned. My defenseless head. That one is led to look to Christ, to flee to Christ as his refuge. That hymn 303 begins, is it not? Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me. Oh, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. Oh, receive my soul at last. Ah, going back to that verse again, the second verse, cover my defenceless head with the shadow of thy wing. Ah, to be sheltering under what Christ hath done by faith, resting in what Christ has done as it's revealed to a poor sinner. There is therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. One condemned, one feeling the weight of the law. Smokings of Mount Sinai and the thunderings there. Ah, yes, and he has no defence in of himself. Cover my defenceless head with the shadow of thy wing. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, wrought upon by the Spirit, brought out then of nature's darkness, and they walk in the fear of the Lord, the tender fear of the Lord. Ah, many may name the name of Christ, and you wonder at their walk. You wonder at their walk and conduct, for the two do not go together. But oh, when there's that one wrought upon by the Spirit, that changed heart and renewed will, and the feet had turned to Zion's hill. They know it is a groan being burdened, and sin has been made unto them exceedingly sinful. And truly the Lord condemns them, and they have no defence in of themselves, like the dying thief. Ah, yes, he saw, no doubt, that he was condemned according to the law of Moses. According to the law, the law of God. And according to the law of the land. We indeed justly suffer for our deeds, our sins. He had no defence of himself. He had nothing to justify himself. He couldn't say, well, I haven't done so much amiss. We indeed justly. But oh, what a venturing there was there. By faith, the Spirit taught him, brought him to see. This one most high yet, the spotless lamb, the friend of sinners. He's brought to see, yes, a holy and a heart-searching God, a God that would not at all acquit the wicked. But he's brought to see one who offered himself once and for all as a spotless lamb. In the room, place, and stead of his chosen, his church's bride. And what a venturing there. He's brought to this, was he not? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Was it not there, as the psalmist in our portion we've read, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Ah, cover my defenceless head with the shadow of thy wing. And was he not to prove the second verse? Ah, the Lord spake unto him. It was an answer of peace and not of evil to give an expected end. And what an answer of peace it was. One defenseless, one condemned under the law. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The psalmist declared, did he not? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. We know he only had those few moments, whatever that time may have been, left here upon the earth. But as the psalmist declares, no doubt that a dying thief rejoiced. That sweet knowledge made known unto him, that imputed righteousness of Christ to one condemned. Sheltering under the shadow of the Almighty. Yes, a place of safety. A place of safety. He that dwelleth, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. As that secret place, is it not this? The dying thief knew that secret place. A crying for mercy. A crying for mercy. The other one, he died as he lived. Died as he lived, and how solemn. No doubt he had heard the converse between one fellow in crime, as it were, and that converse between him and Christ. And yet he remained unmoved. He knew nothing of that secret place. But one knew of that secret place, brought to know it and venture there. That hymn, does it not? I believe it's 780. Venture on him. Venture wholly. Let no other trust intrude. Oh, poor trembling sinner, may you be found as that venturing one. Venturing. Yes. And knowing that secret place of the Most High. Is it not that where true prayer, groanings, fallings of the tear are offered up, the burns of a sigh? When none but God is nigh, that's that secret place of the Most High. And that's what one that does. They may not feel to be so, but they're sheltering. They're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, may you yet be able to say, even with the psalmist, I will say of the Lord. In that personal way, brought into the liberty of the gospel, the hope through grace, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And perhaps going back to that hymn 303, perhaps you can come with the hymn writer there. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. All in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. Vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to pardon all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Ah, that one that knows a little of the secret place of the Most High shall also know of those streams, the river, that river of the water of life, the river we read of in that Psalm 46, is it not? The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Ah, yes, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad. It doesn't say maybe, might do, possibly. It speaks in the affirmative, does it not? There is a river. A river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the place, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to pardon all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess will address the Sunday school this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Tim Parrish, and he would like the male members to be ready to give out a hymn if asked, please. He will probably ask two members to give out a hymn. Mr. Parrish will also preach for us, God willing, on Tuesday evening and again next Lord's Day, when he also hopes to address the Sunday school. And a reminder, it would be helpful, because the service on Tuesday the 15th of February will have to be in the vestry because of the lighting being installed. It will be helpful to know those who hope to be at the service so that we can make sure there's sufficient seating. Our closing hymn is number 379. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray. Therefore will not say thee nay. Hymn 379.
to be pleased to bless that which is of thee. Oh, may thy word go forth in the power of the Spirit. Oh, we're but the instrument by which thou dost pour forth thy word. But maybe thy voice has been heard, the voice of a shepherd, the voice of a saviour. Oh, a voice of one that has done much for his sheep and all, when we think upon that which I has done, a finished work, or to be found sheltering there under the shadow of the Almighty, sheltering under that finished work. And is it not that place of perfect safety? Oh, lead us each there, we plead. Do pardon and forgive all thou hast heard and seen amiss, and do be pleased to come up us again in the evening hour. Oh, we look again to thee for help. An empty vessel, how we need that filling again and again. For we're not to have a store or a stock, is that total dependence upon thee. And so we look to thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.